so well. But more than that, thank you, Holy Spirit. Welcome to Carlisle Vineyard. You are so, so welcome. I've got many, many different favorite things about Carlisle Vineyard. One of our favorite things is about seeing love and joy and good news and just helping people and serving people in all sorts of places across the city, nooks and crannies, all wonderful places. Recreate happens, and it's happening again. Laura, would you come and tell us a little bit about Recreate? This is Laura, married to Phil, who's out in the kids.
Hi. Yeah, it's exciting because as the snow goes and the warm weather comes, Recreate is starting again, which is really exciting. So put in your diaries, the second Saturday of every month, we are trusting God that there will be a Recreate project for us to do every month. And you might be the people who see those Recreate projects, so keep your eyes open and come and let us know. This Saturday coming, we're going to help a lovely guy called Scott. Scott runs something called the R24 community, which is a fitness community. Now, don't worry if that puts you off about you're going to have to be fit and healthy to join in. It's okay. They've been meeting in all weathers outside for the last year, young and old, and he's managed to get a property just literally on the Mitchell Dryers kind of estate, if you like, just around the corner. But it's a lot of work to get this unit ready, and so we're going to go and give him a hand. Now, it's going to involve a bit of scrubbing, but did you know that a scrubbing brush is the tool of dignity and grace and honour for someone? Because we're not saying we're coming to scrub your floor. We're saying we see you, Jesus sees you, you are doing an awesome thing with community here, and we want to get involved. So his mates are going to come along, and you're all my mates. You have to come along, and we're going to help him out. And we're going to scrub some floors, maybe paint a bit of a wall, maybe clean up a bit. So don't wear your newest clothes. Be prepared to get a bit dirty. But it'll just be great to get together and to honour this guy who's been doing great things. He's a lovely guy. And just join with another community that's literally on our doorstep. And just come along. Hey, 10 till 1. I've not been to this place. Apparently, you go, Karen might describe it better. Do you know where it is? No. So you go that way, and you keep going round in the Mitchell Dryers bit. And apparently it's a big double door next to a building with no roof on. That's how Phil described it. But what we'll do is we'll also have a person here for anyone who can't find it, and we'll take you round. So try and find it yourself, and if not, someone will be here. 10 till 1 on Saturday. Please come along. Feel free to invite your mates. Hey, do you want to come and scrub some floors? And there'll probably be tea or coffee. What a great invitation. And just come and let's show this guy and his friends and the community Jesus, really.
And there might be another one, but that is a brilliant start. So thank you so much. That is so great. Today's a special day. We're not going to take too much time downstairs. We're going on a tour upstairs. Woo-hoo! All aboard. The two of us will be leaving in about, in a little while. But this is an exciting story so far. Here at Carlisle Vineyard, we are now just starting in our fifth year. And we just love the story, the adventure so far. And as we're in this stage right now, you know the team worked really hard and you gave generously to be in this space. And isn't this a great space? Like, I love it. And I love when people step into this space, they are instantly going, oh, we could do ... Or this could be ... So hats off to those who've grafted. That hats off to those who scrubbed the windows. So hats off to those who took the grit off the walls. Hats off to so many different people. But this wouldn't have happened without you being generous. We did a slightly risky thing where we said, would you give what Jesus asks you to give? We didn't use guilt. We didn't use shame. We didn't use any of that. We just said, would you ask Jesus what you're to give? And you have given, and we are so grateful for that. Miriam will tell you some of the figures later on. But we are so grateful for that. And we've wanted to stretch every pound. And as you know, the wood around the edge here, this wood is symbolic for us. This is huge. This is flood-affected wood. This wood was just left to rot. this was neglected, and if we hadn't intervened, it would have still been in a pile. But we saw something in that wood. We saw beauty. And we got it, we dried it, we've cleaned it, we've cared for it, and we've brought the life in it out. And this wood is symbolic, because it's what, if that's what can happen to a bit of wood, then it's exactly what God can do for you, and that what God can do for me as well. So we're going to redeem some more wood for upstairs, but you'll see all of that as you go upstairs. And as I've been thinking and praying about this day, this has kind of been a day as in, okay, what is the vision all again? What is the vision? Why do we do what we do? We know we haven't signed up to a club. We're not the Rotary Club with singing. We know we've signed up to something more than that. But what actually is it? Well, we are here ultimately for Jesus. And we are here in this city to see those who are far from his love come to know him. It's as simple as that. And we want to be people who will do whatever it takes. So literally for us to be on our knees with a scrubbing brush, cleaning for someone, that is a joy to us. Because we know as we're on our knees, serving, this somehow, Jesus is lifting somebody's face up. As we go down to serve, somehow it's like he's lifting other people's up. So it's this beautiful picture. That's why I loved Laura's language before. And as I knew about this day, I had quite quickly a sense from Jesus what story to share. Let me just pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's living and kicking. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Would you come now, bring your life, bring your joy, bring your hope, bring your peace, bring your truth, bring your healing presence. Thank you that you, Holy Spirit, are life. So Holy Spirit, bring life. For those who aren't gathered with us today, we declare life over them, hope over them, that you'll bless their socks off. So we thank you for this passage of scripture. And would you just like a firework, would you light it with the blue touch paper? Jesus' name. Amen. This story is a little bit like a diamond. When you first look at a diamond, you don't actually notice that much about a diamond until it starts to turn. Then you realize, oh, hold on, this is not just a bit of crystal. This is not just a bit of glass. There's something profound about this thing. So the first thing on this diamond, let me just, I'll just read the whole story to you. I probably won't be able to get through it because I want to heckle myself, which does get a bit confusing, as you can imagine. So a few days later, and when we talk about a few days later, what has happened so far? Well, Jesus has been healing. He's been seeking the Father. He's been healing people. He's been telling demons to get out of people. He's been setting people free. He's been speaking truth. And everybody seems to be wanting a piece of Jesus. They've been trying to gather around him and pursue him. So a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And for those who are standing today, you feel part of this story. And for that, we kind of apologize. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by all four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. They dug it through and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking and in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up, take your mat and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Now that is where I imagine the word double blessing comes from. This paralyzed man leaves forgiven and healed. So this is the bar when we encounter Jesus. See, the first turn of the diamond in this story is that you have these four friends. I don't think that's the main point of the story, but you have these four friends who will do whatever it takes for their friend to encounter Jesus. And it's my absolute honor to be a part of a gathering, a gaggle of people who do whatever it takes. Literally, these people in this room, and you have gone the second mile, then you got off, you got the bus, then you got off there, then you had to walk, then you had to hitchhike, and then you walked again because of the love you have for people. And I just want to commend you for that. That no journey you have taken in pursuit of someone to let them know they are loved has been a wasted journey. There's people in this room and you have prayed upon prayer, upon prayer, upon prayer. You have done whatever it takes to help people connect with him. There's people in this room and in the glass room as well. And you literally have had moments when you've wept out of praying for someone and longing and yearning for someone. I want to let you know that your tear has not been wasted. That the Father is at work right now bringing prodigals home to himself. Actively, even right now, as you remember names, as we declared that song out before, I just can't help but think of names. And the Father is on it. He is on it. So these four friends, they used their creativity. They saw an opportunity. And they basically took whatever they had in their hands. And I can imagine them just digging into this roof and prizing it. I love that word, prize. They prized it open and created an opening. And they were willing to wreck a roof in order that their friend could encounter Jesus. They were willing, I reckon, also to wreck a bit of their reputation. They were also willing, I think, probably to wreck their savings account. I think at the end of the day, when the crowd went and the owner of the building is there going, yeah, I'm chuffed to bits about the man, but you four boys up there. And I think, you know what? I think they would have been so undone by what they've seen happen, they couldn't been able to get in the hands. I think they would have been so undone at what Jesus has just done that they couldn't put their hands in their pockets quick enough to repair that roof. So here we have a group of people who will do whatever it takes to in order people to find and encounter Jesus. And this story is also a snippet of what our Heavenly Father has done for us. Like he literally has wrecked the roof in order to connect with us through Jesus Christ. And as a church, let me be very clear on this. We will do whatever it takes to see those in this city and beyond who don't know him come to know him. We go beyond the second mile. We dig gardens, we paint walls, we take calls, we deliver bags of courage. We pray again and again. We get our hands dirty. We get our hearts wounded. We're on our knees. We spend our money on those in need and we give generously. We speak of Jesus to anybody who listens and we wreck roofs. Metaphorically, physically, emotionally, we'll do whatever it takes in order for people to encounter the love of God. See, where religion is all about putting up walls, keeping people back from God, in this community, we're all about taking those walls down and using those bricks to build big bridges. And all those bridges may look very, very different. But you are the bridge building kind of people. And there's not just one big super bridge, but there's all these different styles of bridges. All these different places. For us, we see in this story that those guys knew enough about Jesus that he was a welcomer for them to wreck the roof. See, if they wrecked the roof and met religion, they would have been told to go around and wait in line. But Jesus just wrecked the roof in order. Jesus encouraged that because he was a welcomer. For us here at Calvary Vineyard, welcome is part of who we are. It's not something we add on. It's not something we do a little bit. But welcome is core of who we are. And I like to believe it's because of it's who God is. That he is a welcomer. He is one who will say, you are welcome home. And I remember this story that Tony Campolo told once about, I won't go into too much detail because it's gory. But the story was, he was on a long, long flight. And quite quickly into the flight, a kid was sick all over themselves. And sick, the smell generally gets worse. Anyways, this smell, this stench around this child was just horrid. There wasn't a change of clothes. Anyways, after this long flight, he saw the child go down the steps. And I think it was in the days of old, so there wasn't all the security stuff. And then he saw the child's dad, and he's thinking, oh, this is going to be awkward. You know, the love that dad had for that child, he didn't even smell the sick. He didn't even see it. He just ran over, and he embraced that child and took that child close to himself. That is why those guys did whatever it took for their friend to encounter Jesus. Because they knew that that is the type of Jesus he was. Aren't you glad that that's the type of God we have? Like imagine if he was harsh. Imagine if he was unwelcoming. Imagine if he got to the end of his tether. Imagine that. That he just got sick and tired of us. But his love is boundless and it's endless. So here at Carlisle Vineyard, we're all about creating openings in the roof so that others can encounter. And with these wedges here, these in many ways are just ordinary bits of wood. But these can also create openings for heaven to come. Like the interesting, some wedges are big, some are small. But the smallest of wedges can open the biggest of doors and keep it open as well. And I have a profound sense that some of us have been placed in different and unique places in order to open certain types of doors in this city. And God has called us to different situations for that. So Carlisle Vineyard, we're not an events company, but we want to spark a region into life. We want to remove every type of barrier between people. Now, I can't not mention the turn of the diamond in this story as well. See, the story isn't just about the four friends doing whatever it takes for somebody to encounter Jesus. But there's a turn of the diamond where it talks and we see Jesus meeting the man's greatest need first. Everybody in the room is thinking the man's greatest need is he can't walk. But what does he do? He says, son, your sins are forgiven. And I wonder if there's somebody here today and you are part of this story as well. Will you realize that actually, I don't know if I've ever been forgiven by God. I don't know if I've ever had that fresh start, that new heart from him. And I want to encourage you that you're in the right place for that. But just a slight turn of the diamond again. That realize that not only did the man is set free from his sin. I actually had a sense that this... there's somebody here with an addiction and Jesus is wanting to forgive you and set you free from that as well. I'm not going to call you out, but I just wonder if that is you. And I want to let you know that he knows about it and it's not too big a deal. It's not too big for him. He wants to set you free from that as well. But this man, because he, in many ways, this man represents the city, doesn't he? Like in that song that Steph led us in before, you're not broken anymore. You're not broken anymore. So when Jesus looks at us, He doesn't just see a man who can't walk and in need of forgiveness. He sees original design. And as God reaches out and wants to connect with each one of us, He wants to forgive us and heal us and restore us to our original design. That is His heart. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If that is our heart, we'll never lack for resources in this city. If we're all about becoming an event city, an event company, the best event, the nicest venue in the city, then I have a sense that God's presence will lift off. Because that's not who we are. That's not what we're signed up for. And we are all about people who are gathered and scattered. We want to gather best we can. And this is a great place for people to come along to. Again, don't invite your friends who are already connected to a church. But you've got friends who don't yet know Jesus. We gather together. But you're equally called to be scattered as well. In the nooks and crannies, wherever you live, work, or play, God is with you and using you in that place as well. So the final turn of the diamond is this. And it's the last line that I never read out. This is what happened after the man. He got up. He took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." See, the action from those four guys, the healing of the sin and the healing of the sickness and the forgiveness of the sin, what did it result in? It resulted in worship. It resulted in hearts that are far from Him bursting out in song, saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And I was profoundly stirred by this. See, we as a church, we exist for those moments that don't... Let me just say that again. Because if we listen in careful now, I can hear it. I can hear the voices beginning to worship. Right now, those voices are lost, alone, and unloved. They are orphan voices. But there's a new song coming. God is on the move. Spring is coming. Hearts are thawing. Eyes are opening. We declare over this region, alive. Come alive. Awake. Awake, O region. Borderlands, awake, O region. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. God is on the move. And He's moving through ordinary people like me and you. And these songs beginning to emerge. And new songs always go before a move of God. So it's no surprise that Steph and the worship guys are finding new songs and discovering new songs. And I love that one, declaring before. And there's a sense that God is on the move. And we long for, we work towards, we give towards, we pray for those moments when men, women, boys and girls begin to worship Jesus. And we don't care who this is. It's for everyone. It's for those with special needs, fully able, less able, fashion icon, and the homeless. It's for superstars, introverts, extroverts, and computer nerds. It's for business leaders, unemployed, artists and farmers, creatives and cracker packers, this messed up and broken, sick, poor, rich, stubborn, proud. It's for everyone. This message of Jesus is for everyone. And if you're on board, we are still surging forward to the vision that Jesus gave us, that we will do whatever it takes to help people encounter Him. So are you with us in this next season ahead? It is not neat, it is not tidy, and it's going to get messy. But we will not quit. We are not on our back foot. We're on our front foot. Because we are wrecking the roof, literally. That's what we're going to be doing. As the tour goes around in a few minutes, you'll see that we're literally wrecking a roof in order that people can encounter Jesus. We are having to put a lift in. And why are we putting a lift in? Because everybody is welcome. Not just those who are okay. Everybody is welcome. Miriam, I have taken way too long.
Guys, we just want to take some little time out now, I think, to do something practical. There's quite a lot of us here this morning, so how this will work, I'm not sure, but we'll give it our best shot, because we've been aware that, you know, it's been quite a long journey, and there's been many different spaces that Carlisle Vineyard has gathered in over the last 5 years. And I think it has been incredible to be able, all of those spaces have been the right place for those seasons, but it's amazing, isn't it, to be able to move into a space like this where, you know, already in the last few weeks there are just things that people are coming from the community and saying, what about this? Could we do this? Could we invite people along to this? Can we host this? Can we bring our friends? And having that place and space where we can do that from, but also a space where we can gather in and then go beyond the walls of this building, for it never to become a place where we just huddle. But that sense of continuing to huddle and then scatter. And so, as Andy said earlier, there's been such an amazing group of guys designing and working to get this downstairs space ready so that we could begin that transition of God putting us in this community. And I don't know, some of you may or may not know this, but on the site, excuse me, during the 1800s or over the period of the 1800s, there was a church on the site, which eventually was pulled down in the 1960s in order for it to become an industrial site. And so to find ourselves back in the heart of this community as a space where people can come and find life and where life can go forth, that's pretty exciting, eh? And so we just get to multiply that now. This space is going to be amazing for so many different reasons. But we have a whole other space upstairs, which is the entirety of the floor plan down here. It's bigger, and many of you wouldn't have had an opportunity yet to see it because it's been a little bit dangerous up there. And there was just a rest season after having worked so hard on this space, but we are now ready to begin more fully turning our eyes towards, and our hands, more than just our eyes, to be honest, you know, beginning to get our hands dirty again over these next 6 weeks or so, to get that space prepared, to see the lift put in so that everybody will be able to get upstairs to use that space as our gathering point, and where we can then just begin to expand and give everybody a chair to sit on and just more space in order for God to do so much more, eh? It's not to become a professional church. We're not looking to establish a big auditorium where we can just gather and stay. But there is something very precious about having spaces where we can come together to community and then go out from there and invite others into. So what we'd like to do in this next little while is to get practical with that and to take little tour groups. Don't have umbrellas, I'm afraid, and we don't have flags, but Graham has a book. So what we're going to do, guys, there is going to be coffee on the go over this next half hour, so please feel free to grab yourself another coffee. What we would also like to do, one of the things that, you know, God's been speaking increasingly about is just, you know, continuing to pray where people have sicknesses and things that they're wrestling with. And so during this time, we would also love to invite anybody who's wrestling with something that's been a long-term, you know, some long-term illness or restriction on your physical health, where we just long to see God break through. And it doesn't mean we haven't prayed lots already, but as a community, we are going to become increasingly committed to continuing to come before the Father on one another's behalf and others, to see that increase of healing and the release of physical wellness over our bodies. So we would love to invite, if anybody has got something that they're wrestling with, to just come during this time and gather over in this corner. There's going to be some folks that will just come around and pray, and just to really press in and believe God to bring physical healing to our bodies. Okay, and so from over in this corner, you'll see a sign up on the wall is where the tour groups are going to leave from. We'll take 10 to 15 people at a time, but to show you the space and to show you what's going to be happening up there. And guys, I think, you know, one of the things is we've just been asking the Father, you know, there's so many places and stories. Andy was sharing a few weeks ago from Nehemiah where there was, you know, he had this vision, or God put a vision in his heart to see the city rebuilt. And so God just began to gather resources and talk to people about that. And there's other stories, but each one of them's got a really common theme to them. And in each of them throughout the Bible that I've found so far, it says where their hearts were prompted. We want to be a community of people, whatever it is that we're doing, whatever God asks us to do, whatever we physically, you know, whether we are involved in Recreate, whether we, you know, gather friends at a coffee shop, when it comes to giving and everything else that we do as community, we want to do it from a space of being prompted in our hearts by the Father, not by anything else. And there'll be times when God says this is not for you to get involved with, and we have to sit back because there's something else he wants us to do. And there'll be times he'll tell us this is not your time to give to this. And then there'll be other times when he'll say to us, I want you to give everything to this. Guys, we have to be, don't we, a community that hears the Father's voice so specifically for ourselves, not just what's been said from the front, or our small group leader, or our best friend, or what they're doing, but we have to hear the Father's voice, don't we, so that we can just give our yes to him in whatever shape and form. So as you're going around this morning, we would just, I think as community, for each of us, it's about asking the Father, and you have, each of you should have had a pledge wedge on your seat. That's fantastic inspiration from Graham. A pledge wedge to remind us, take it home with you, to remind us that God wants us to open doors in this city, to keep doors open that will never be shut. But as you're going round, or as you just take a little bit of time now, we'd just love for each of us to ask the Father, what is it that he wants us to pledge into the community so that we can go beyond? Guys, you gave so generously over this last season that we actually have everything we need to put the lift in. You know, there was the possibility of it having to come from trust funds and other things, but that hasn't had to happen because you gave so generously.
I thought that would have got more of a response. Did you hear what Miriam said there? Say that bit again, Miriam.
Okay, so you gave so generously, and some of you might not know how much a lift costs. We're talking in the region of around £20,000 to put that in. And yeah, we thought that that was going to have to pay, perhaps come in through trust applications and things. But as a community, that's what you've sown in order to get everybody included. So that's amazing. We can celebrate that, guys. It's really amazing. Really amazing. And I know personally from some of you that that's been super costly. And it's just phenomenal. So we want you to be able to see the space upstairs. And moving forward from this point, to get that job finished, we're probably needing to see provision of about another £5,000 in order for us to get everything done. But guys, it goes beyond that as well, because I think our biggest thing is, and it's, to be honest, I'm just going to be honest, it's been quite a wrestle thinking about how to do this morning. Because, you know, lots of us have been in places and spaces where it's been churches all about asking and taking, like what the church can take from us, what the church needs to be given. And so, but the Father was really clear through people speaking that we need to not be ashamed of asking and saying, what do we as community, this is not about something called Vineyard Church asking of you. We in this room exist as Carlisle Vineyard. And it's not the leadership, it's not Andy and Roe. It's about God's heart for what he wants to do through this group of people he's gathered as family to then take that to finish a space to a level that is just good for us to use, for everything that he's got for us, but to take it beyond. So we really want to believe that there's just going to be a release, a reservoir of resources so that we can do the Recreate projects, so that we can hold evenings to bring women together to celebrate one another, so that we can do the many things that have been birthed in people's hearts in order to bless the city and bring life to it. So would you be willing? And that's what the Father, that's all he ever asks, guys, is just, he's asking, can we just consider what it is that right in this season he would like us to pledge? And as you go around, just be listening to the Father's voice on that for yourself. And whether it is time, whether it is finance, whether it's resources in some way, we would just love to gather those in order to complete the building, the finishing of the wall, whatever it looks like, to just move into this next season. Bless you guys for that. So we're going to grab a coffee. Those that would like to do a tour, we'll start over there. If you do need prayer, please come and join the guys over here. We really believe God wants to release healing this morning.